Portland. This is your community radio station, KBOO Portland. Before we get going with our programming, I want to remind everyone that you can donate today at kboo.fm/give. We aren't in the station to take your calls, but you can show your support by giving online. Support KBOO now, and your donation will be matched dollar for dollar, up to $10,000 until September 20th. Thanks to the Ronnie S. LaCroute Fund of the Oregon Community Foundation. Again, that's kboo.fm/give, or you can also mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio wants to know what you care about this election season. We want to ask our listeners one simple question. What do you think candidates should be talking about as they compete for votes? Let us know by filling out our Citizens Agenda survey, and you can be entered into a sweepstakes to win a $50 Visa prepaid gift card. The responses we get from our community will inform our reporting on the November election. We want our coverage to serve our community, and we need your help to make it happen. If you would like to participate and be entered to win $50, open your web browser and type bit.ly/KBOO survey into the address line. Again, that's bit.ly/KBOO survey. And thanks.
We don't get fooled again.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. 90.7 in your FM dial. This is Talking Earth.
Cold raindrops seeping into soft petals to release perfume and wet dream. Roses spread with rainwater, yellow roses like lemon pudding, white roses like old ivory, red roses fresh like lips and cheeks stung pretty by a brisk walk on a breezy day in rainy May. Oh, the fresh blossoms and green leaves beside boardwalks on which wooden trellises hangingly draped with clinging vines and springing bushes standing sprightly straight. I believe civilization began the apparition and appreciation of the beautiful when men and women started to cultivate flowers, all kinds of brilliant flowers, ruddy roses, chrysanthemums, sweet peas, violets, daisies, rudding philodendrons, lilacs, blooming so many colors and perfumes, I'm struck dizzy by such delightful fancies. The dandy, outrageous forms I desire almost as much as lyrical love. They reveal revelry outside of human display. Touches, hugs, kisses, and quick looks. No wonder poets put in books. Frilly flowers and amorous folks. When the first crystal drops strike the roses, they shudder sensuously and forget to hold poses of the trembling and delicious anticipation of the fulfillment of romantic dreams, damp and deciduous. I'm recording in my room for the KBOO program. August 10th, this Monday, 10 p.m. Patrick Bocard will be here soon, my engineer, and we're doing a remote broadcast. And so August 10th, 10 p.m., and let's see if we can pick up a little Billie Holiday, the Talking Earth poet Walt Curtis.
Day in and day out. waked, I awakened with a tingle. What possibility in view? That possibility of maybe seeing you. Come rain, come shine, I meet you and to me the day is fine. Then I kiss your lips and upon me we come. The ocean roars a thousand drums. Can't you see it's love? Can there be any doubt? When there it is, day in, day out.
God, I love her voice, and she dies with tragedy with heroin, but this is songs for distingue lovers. We'll do, and we'll try another half one and see what happens here. Let's try another half one. No, we can't hear it. We've got it. Darn this. Last time we, Patrick and I, my room screwed up. Anyway.
Should we take a pause? After
sure.
I'll just stop.
It's very clear our love is here to stay. Not for a year, but ever and the day. The radio and the telephone and the movies that we know may just be passing fancies, and in time may go. But oh my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going a long, long way. In time the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they only made of clay. But our love is here to stay.
Pause. Patrick, you're here.
Yeah.
So
I've never been able to pronounce that word. Songs for
distinguish. It reads French.
Okay.
Never. Yeah. Did you ever get it? I mean, how big a jazz person are you? Patrick Bocard, my engineer.
I'm not
here.
A huge jazz person, but I've listened to most of Billie Holiday's work and a lot of other stuff too.
Yeah, it's really an incredible album. And then I have another one, but her haunting one is called Strange Fruit. And
yes.
She used to say that after she did it, she would throw up. It was about lynching in Alabama and the Southland.
Isn't there also the one where it's Gloomy Monday or Gloomy Sunday, which is the one... What's the title?
That
one's infamous.
My brain goes on and on and on. But
that one's infamous though, because of.
Tell me why it's infamous.
Well, it's like the song that people kill themselves to.
Oh, I see. So people were actually using it.
I mean, not just her version. I mean, it was like there was an earlier version that you know, people would listen to it and then kill themselves.
Well, you
kinda
know,
like
the
book by Goethe.
Oh, the Sorrows of Young Werther. Goethe. Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was a suicide.
Well, people would be clutching and jump into a river.
Oh yeah.
From what I heard.
Well, you're pretty.
I haven't read it though.
I had to do it at Portland State University. I had world literature, and I, you know, I learned a lot. You know, the problem is, it's the point of learning everything is to share it with others. See, it's not about me, because I'll be a dead man. What if I had a stroke, for Christ's sake? Jesus H. Christ, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, your neocortex would be blotted out. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, if you don't, that was one of the reasons I became a writer. And also, I kept repeating myself, so I kept a diary. I urge every young person to go to a dictionary, read the classics, and keep a little personal notebook about where you were last year. Or, you know, yeah. Did you ever do that in your life, or keep a diary or a little?
I don't really keep a diary. I kept notebooks that I would just write phrases in, or that I thought of. And
oh, yeah, no, it's...
That's like, it was like a poetry notebook or...
heck, a Dollar Tree, they're a dollar. You can just write anything down.
Yeah, that's what I still do that somewhat, but I haven't been writing as much lately.
No. So we're going into this little Zen thing here. Were you ever interested in Buddhism? And we're just watching the time here. I did a little Alan Watts, but my other tape recorder has a thump, a hum in it. But I did want to bring up, and I can't remember if I do. Did you ever see that book, Zen Flesh, Zen Bones, Paul?
No.
Oh, it's an amazing thing, because these are all the koans, the teaching, and they're all little Zen stories. I think I'd like to do one or two. So I welcome you, Patrick Bocard, and we'll see. I didn't really like... Well, let's see what goes on here.
After Bodhidharma's time.
Bodhidharma. Bodhidharma cut his eyelids off. Made up this. I don't like the hum, but it's alright.
I said before, what is involved is a dialogue, an interchange between two people. One who has defined himself as a student, and has therefore defined the other as the teacher. There is no teacher until a student arrives. No problem until a question is raised. So students create teachers. It's very funny. We have a saying, anybody who goes to a psychiatrist ought to have his head examined. You can interpret that as you're an idiot to go to a psychiatrist because they're a bunch of charlatans. But the subtler meaning of it is, yes, if you define yourself as being in need of help psychiatrically, you need a psychiatrist. They say exactly the same thing in Zen. If you ask a question, you get 30 blows with a stick. If you don't ask a question, you get 30 blows with a stick. Because you put yourself in statu pupillari. You've defined yourself as having a problem. Now, nobody really has a problem, but the maya, the game of life, is to pretend that you do. Going back to fundamental Hinduism, the Godhead, or the self, pretends it's all of us, and so gets lost, and so has a ball, and dreams all this goings on. So when you're on your way out from the dream, it suddenly occurs to you that you have a problem. Life is suffering. You would like to get out of this. So one such student went to a Zen master and he said, we have to dress and eat every day. And how do we get out of all that? In other words, you might ask the question in this way. We have to work. I'd get up on Monday morning, go to the office, do all this routine, sell something, and so on. How do we get out of the rat race? So we have to dress and eat every day, and how do we get rid of all that?
a little meditation. Sorry. A little meditation music. Meditation music a little bit. I hope it doesn't go on very long. But... trying to orchestrate this out of my room by myself is insane. Okay. Go ahead, Curtis.
I want to bring Paul Reps into the equation, but that was the voice of Alan Watts, and there, the other tape recorder wasn't working very well. This is a little... Zen raga music to meditate, but what I'm going to do is key you to this great book, Zen Flesh, Zen Bones, collection of Zen and pre-Zen writings. It was a double day anchor book compiled by Paul Reps. Here in four sources for Zen are the scriptures, etc. And so what is the sound of one hand clapping? Actually, Alan Watts is so great, he wrote The Way of Zen, Man, Nature, and Woman, and it was a fantastic commentator who said, I don't want to live to be 90, I just want to drink a little bit and eat good dinners and be with a beautiful woman. That's all I want before I die. And so the life lived, the fullness of your life is so important. So I'm going to do the teacher, as he brought up the teacher, or he started to, they're called koans, K-O-A-N, in Japan. Has been the center of Zen, and the it's come to the United States, and you know, in California and other places. Watts lived in Sausalito and Mill Valley. His son carried on all of his radio programs and lectures, and I think I'm going to pause on this Zen thing. We may not take it too far. We'll see what happens. What is the sound of one hand clapping as a dog of Buddha nature? Going to the psychiatrist, Alan Watts started that. The student comes to the maestro, the teacher, and he says, I think I've lost my mind. And the teacher says, well, it's not like losing your wallet. It's not like losing your car keys. Show me your mind, and you can't lose your mind. It's part of the great Buddha nature of all living beings on planet Earth, flies and people and dogs and cats. Because Buddhism takes the point of view that everything is sentient and alive, and you find your mind, show me your mind, and I'll see if you've lost it.
Okay, so where do we go here? We'll go here. We're going to go to Sabrina. No, we're not. We're going to pause. We're going to pause here. We'll let this run. Hey, so you never got involved in all that?
Buddhism?
Well, it was such a big deal in the 60s and 70s and 80s.
I was kind of busy growing up in the 60s and 70s. And then the 80s, I was in suburbia, so...
Oh, you tell me. Yeah. Give us...
But I do have to ask, is Buddhism... Is it... a tenet of Buddhism that everything is sentient?
Darn near. I mean, not
inanimate objects.
It's kind of animism when you go to animism. Are rocks. I had a friend, Michael Lindenmeyer, unfortunately passed away in Olympia, Washington. He was a painter, and he said the rock people. The rock people. I do think that rocks have a certain energy that people, I'm going to read a poem here.
Yeah, read a poem. Get us out of here.
Yeah, we got to get out of here. This is getting absurd.
Yeah.
We want this show to be absurd. And I've got too much Sabrina Guitart on here, so I'm going to bring in John Bryan. We want to have fun with the program. How many minutes are we into this?
Oh, 25 minutes. We're almost halfway there.
Oh, my God.
So better,
this isn't chi, but this is, I wouldn't read it last time, but mushrooms. You know, plant consciousness is before, maybe I brought it up last time. I mean, people with peyote and they were talking all this, and Sabrina will all do. But, you know, I read a great book called The Mushroom and the Cross by the poet Robert Graves and John Allegro. Now, I might have brought this up before. Mushroom God, red like a bruised penis. Now, we're talking about the Amanita muscaria. It's red with white spots. It's the fairy tale mushroom. Okay. Red like a bruised penis, red and white spots in the forests of Siberia. Shaman ingested its flesh and acolytes drank their piss, getting higher than the gray, snowy sky. I can't find a damn thing. God consciousness came from fungi all across the temperate earth zone, vomiting ague, fear, hallucinations of spiritual grandiosity, religious experience engendered by mycology. That's how we escaped our monkey brains. Our monkey brains. Did they talk about monkey brains when you were doing your Tai Chi?
No.
Fairy tales, witches, warlocks. Was the Last Supper mushroom and Venus wine blood. There is no death when we know consciousness of everything in the ground. This is what we're trying to lay down here, the track is. We know consciousness of everything in the ground. We can channel mold, spores, and our own corpse rotting. Earth herself, our soul contact. Our soul, contact. The capilla of the ancient Greek church is shaped like a mushroom cap. The Mushroom and the Cross by Robert Graves and John Allegro, we could put Robert Graves on, speculates philologically on the nature of God, plant, wisdom, red and white, out of sight, eat and become magic mushroom mind. Now, you know, how would you respond to that? I mean, we had Dusty talking about Yahe, and we had, what did we, I think Sabrina will talk about peyote. I'm not terribly happy. Go ahead, Yahe.
I would just say, just be careful what mushroom you eat. Some of them are are not just like
magic. Well, yeah, the Amanita.
You got to know what you're doing.
Is the red one. You'll probably vomit. But
there's also Amanita.
The white
phyloides.
One, Amanita.
Phyloides. I only know of it because of a novel by Shirley Jackson.
Oh, you talk about it. Talk about Shirley
which
Jackson.
Which is like Mary Cat Blackwood. There's the opening paragraph. She talks about what she loves and she hates certain things. And then, she loves her sister Constance, mentions her uncle. And then she also mentioned she loves the Amanita phyloides, the death cup mushroom.
Well,
and
you then, die.
And then the next sentence is, everyone else in my family is dead.
Well, you know, it's absolutely correct because actually I'll tell you a wild story, and I don't know if I can find Marty's poem here about flies, because we're overwhelmed here at the Death House with flies. But the deal is, we went up on Mount Hood, Lorna and Marty, and we obviously we were drinking, we were having fun. It was an autumn. You know, when the rains hit, all the mushrooms come out of the ground. So we just, I didn't do it. Marty did it, and Lorna did it. We had a brown paper bag. We just started picking up mushrooms off the ground. And one of us, maybe me, got rid of the bag of mushrooms because they were going to go home and cook them. No, you had to be able to identify a mushroom.
Yes, you got
it. No, you talk about it. Have you ever had an experience with mushrooms? No, they're morels are great.
I love regular button mushrooms of the boring kind that I use for.
Oh, you like the button? Keep talking about
them. But yeah, then I've had experiences with the special kind of mushroom.
Oh my God, it's.
But I haven't had any of the dangerous episodes of mushrooms.
Well,
I don't
while we're doing Shirley Jackson, why don't you? She did the lottery. She was. She was kind of. Was she a horror? What would you say? Was she a horror?
She wrote a lot of domestic fiction, actually. I mean, it's not like you can't really.
It wasn't all horror, okay? You're not gonna.
No, a lot of it was about.
Gonna characterize
it. Being home with the kids and they're driving you nuts. There's a story called Charles.
Well, go ahead. Give us
awesome.
The story there. Give us the story.
And I don't really want to spoil it too much, but.
Spoil it.
It's about some parents, you know, and they keep hearing from their lovely child about how Charles keeps causing problems.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they keep hearing more and more. And then they go to the teacher, parent-teacher day or whatever, and the teacher wants to talk to them about their lovely child. And the mother asks, well, I realize you've been having problems with this kid named Charles. And the teacher's like, there's no Charles in the class.
There's no Charles.
It's Charles is basically what the little kid does.
Oh. I mean, that's the nature of the little kid.
Yeah, no, he's just blaming it on Charles when he's doing all the naughty things.
Well, speaking of naughty things, do you have a naughty poem to read, or?
I do not have a naughty poem. I wrote some stuff, but they're not ready. They're undefinitely.
Well, how does your writing life go? I'm talking with Patrick Bocard, my engineer, and we're.
I write a little bit of poetry, but I haven't been writing that much, and I haven't been rewriting enough.
We have to get on top of this, and we're going to. I'm going to run this ahead here. What the hell is it?
John Prine.
Oh. Well, let's do that. It's fun.
Yeah.
Cable, probably.
My beautiful arrangement.
Oh.
Of Shenandoah.
Southern.
Arrangement by Brian Johansson.
That is definitely. Is that the radio?
Yeah, the classical radio is great.
Oh, okay. That was John Prine.
We're going to go back to the Talking Earth, which is not classical. Are we
going to go to Sabrina?
We are, but I want to read one weird poem, and actually I want to put well, did I ever do the Ma thing?
No, I don't think so.
You know better than I, but did we ever do the Ma thing? Well, the land of Chi, and I can't find the darn thing, but... Okay, we ready? Okay, come on. Hemp in Ancient China by so-and-so, Man and Marijuana, 1972. In India, old Hindu poems say Shiva brought the hemp plant from the Himalayas and gave it to humankind. Ganga, or Bhang, was the invariable drink of heroes. Now, I wrote an earlier marijuana poem about how it would save planet Earth, and it still could, maybe, I don't know. I wrote about Earth, and you know, Oregon is overwhelmed, many places with 200 kinds of. Do you like marijuana? You can answer or not.
Well, not really.
I'm a drinker. But okay. Well, this it came into the Chinese pharmacopoeia in 2737 BC. Okay, so here we go. Ma. Marijuana equals ma. M-A. Ma means horse. Why? Those happy Mongol invaders brought seeds of hemp from Central Asia down the Silk Road. Riders carried seeds of light into China. Ma entered about 2737 BC, the Chinese pharmacopoeia. Early, Emperor Shennong prescribed it for, quote, female weakness, gout, rheumatism, malaria, beriberi, constipation, and absent-mindedness, quote, more or less condemn it as a liberator of sin. Nonetheless, Ma heals our hearts and focuses the mind. One of the oldest cultivated plants on the planet. It gives peace. Herbal Satori. Satori is, of course, the Buddhist term for enlightenment. Satori, S-A-T-O-R-I. But you know what? Just for a moment here, and I'm going to play some music with Sabrina, but first of all, today is August 4th when we're recording this. So this morning, I heard on Democracy Now! You could go to it on KBO, at kbo.fm/democracynow, August 4th. Well, there is a shocking expose. For some reason, El Residente Rump only trusts his family. So Jared Kushner did like every other Western nation state did, had a plan to deal with the coronavirus. Now this is an expose in Vanity Fair. This is really serious stuff. And they had it all worked out, and they had a rational plan to shut down the coronavirus. And many countries have in the world. And but what happened was the people with divine wisdom, I don't know if that's the president or whoever the hell it is, the people around him, they got rid of it. They stopped testing. So we need testing, but we don't have testing. And there was even fake. They brought in some fake tests from China. It's a very interesting discussion. And then it gets into this, which will lead into a little bit of Sabrina. The shocking ICE at the border. People are locked in there. The governor, what's his name? Governor Newsom of California. They should release the jails. They should release people from the internment camps, because when you're together like that, you're going to get sick and you're probably going to die. I mean, it's not a joke, you know. Yeah. I mean, well, you respond to that. Go ahead, because I want to go with that a little bit.
I haven't heard anything about the first part of what you said, the Vanity Fair article.
Oh, it's a sensational art, stunning. And Amy Goodman and Juan had the woman who had exposed it. And she had documentation and everything that, go to this month's Vanity Fair, very shocking, and the whole thing. They had a program way back in March of last year to, as every other country in the world has done, to deal, with the virus. You got to have masks. You got to get testing. You got to know where the virus is going. It's very elusive. Okay, I recommend that. Democracy Now! Today, August 4th. I like this program to have some information, okay? I mean, really, I want you to take away some information. So, and then my neighbor here, who lives here, he said the feds finally left town with the protests.
Yes, supposedly.
No, you tell me about it. What do you know about it? Yeah, they left town.
They had an agreement to eventually leave town. I don't know if they've left yet. They probably have, though.
Well, he said over the weekend. And he said also that the 69th day of the protest had slowed down. I mean, people weren't too radical or wild because the feds wasn't in their face.
Well, the thing was is that they shot the kid in the head with a
damn right,
whatever it was, a rubber bullet, plastic bullet, or just
they're a lethal weapon.
And then the kid ended up going to the hospital, and next thing you know, it went from like 500 to 600 people going every night to like thousands.
What do you think about these protests? Are they revolutionary? And you talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to watch the time. We're at 43.
I mean, they just what the police have been doing in terms of...
Well, you talk about it, yeah. Don't muffle again. You're getting closer.
Use of crowd control reminds me of what the British were trying to do in Northern Ireland, and that really didn't work. I mean, it just...
No, it didn't. Finally, the Irish got their...
Well, they didn't necessarily... Northern Ireland's still part of...
Yeah, but they got their autonomy, the Catholics.
They got a certain amount of autonomy, but also what happened was that they... before that happened, the IRA basically reenacted the Blitz on London, where they... I mean, they destroyed London's economy in the 80s.
Bernadette Devlin and others, I know I follow the starvation.
So, but the thing is a lot of what they're doing is like, it sounds from that playbook and it doesn't, it's a bad crowd control. The thing you do is you de-escalate, but they're not, there's no money in de-escalation.
Well, Sabrina's going to get in this, and what time are we at, kiddo?
We have 18 minutes, so you might want to bring
her
in.
Well, yeah, we better, we'll bring some of her up. I'm not going to do the whole end of the show with Chappas. She was in Chappas in 2014, and she was talking about... What am I doing here? We're talking about... it's on the tape.
It's on the tape recorder.
Between the tape recorder and my brain. Okay. So play.
Mining it in their own country.
Oh, here she is. This is Sabrina Guitart.
You refined outside of the country now.
She's in Mexico.
Is that bothersome? It was sent to U.S. and U.S. will refine and sell it back to Mexico. And that was kind of lame. But that's another corrupt...
Let's take a pause.
Talking about Chappas.
Talking with Sabrina Guitart, a fine photographer. How long were you there? And just a real quick thing. It's Walt Curtis, KBO, 90.7 FM. But you were there at least.
I was speaking about the repression of the police. What I meant to say is that in this protest that I saw in Mexico City, there were like five policemen by every one single protester. It's pretty intense. Here it's intense, but over there it's like unbelievably intense.
Oh, really?
It's really heavy, the police presence.
Well, I think this, John Ross, I told you about him, and I was trying to show you some things, and let's not worry about that. He's passed away, but he had followed since 1993 when the Zapatistas came electronically into power and PR-wise. But in 1994, they instituted NAFTA. So I would say the country, you can respond, you're telling me the fruit, the negative fruits of NAFTA are just what? Corporatizing, yeah. Capitalizing the country, is that correct?
And that's when the Zapatistas rise up 50 years ago, when NAFTA,
yes.
When the NAFTA agreement happened, that's when they rise up. It was NAFTA and it was NORAD, which I don't really know exactly what it stands for, but it's this alliance, militaristic and nuclear alliance between the U.S. and Mexico. And
nuclear alliance.
Yeah,
between
that's
both.
When the Zapatistas,
wow.
Took over San Cristobal and rise up and... You know, the Zapatistas, they originated, it comes from Zapata, right? Emilio Zapata,
yes.
The revolutionary, the great revolutionary of Mexico. The land is of who it works at, right?
No, the land belongs to the people, to the pueblo.
So, that's the main...
Okay, the land belongs to the people who work it.
Of the Zapatismo, you know, that's the main...
Idea
behind, and so I wish I would have had more time to go. And
well, you took a bunch of photographs, but I want to talk a little more. But you were with some of the indigenous people. Now, give me some of the names of the people you had. The you were with the Huichol. You were with the.
Well, the Huicholes. That was in San Luis de Potosí. The Huicholes come from Jalisco, but
okay.
They do this pilgrimage every year.
Oh, they do a pilgrimage.
And they go to this place in San Luis de Potosí, Real de 14, this town that is way high up. It's like almost 3,000 meters high. There's this small village, and then above is even higher. And then there's this place that they go after they pick the peyote.
Peyote buttons, yeah.
In the desert, you know, below Real de 14, in the state of San Luis de Potosí. And then they go up, and then they go into this place that they call it El Cerro del Quemado, which is the mountain.
Oh, mountain.
The burnt mountain, they call it.
The burnt mountain, the burning
they
mountain.
They call it like that because they believe that the sun was born there.
Sun was born on the burnt mountain.
And then on top of this mountain, there's this incredible landscape. It's very open. It really looks like the sun maybe was born. It's just this extended range of mountains. And on top of it, there's this labyrinth.
Labyrinto?
Yeah,
yes.
They made this labyrinth, and that's where they do their ceremonies. The main leaders, the main shamans, lead the ceremony of the peyote, which is...
Now, were you there at the peyote ceremony?
I did my own peyote ceremony.
Let's be honest here, yeah, okay.
But
did you see the little green guy? What's his name?
I met the Huichol families that they were around. They were still around. That was during the Christmas time. And they were around there. Very beautiful people, you know.
Well, what I find interesting, I don't know if their cultural... I've seen... their woolen colors, they're so bright and they're so psychedelic. Are they still doing that, sort of?
Mm-hmm.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All of them. They're very musical people also.
Are they musical people?
Yeah, the Huichols.
Are you going to sing a Huichol song? Or?
I wish I could. But they play all the instruments and they're very crafty. And all of the women and children and men, they do a lot of beautiful artisany, yeah, with the blue bits and very bright colors, yeah, and a lot of designs of
peyote. So how long?
And
I'm going to take off the dark glasses here. I'm not in the mafia business here. So anyway, we're really talking serious stuff here. So you visit the Huichol pilgrimage there, is that correct? Yes.
Yeah. I wasn't present when they were doing the ceremony. It happened a few days before I arrived there, but they were still there when I got there. So I got to meet them, you know. And it was just a, you know, natural, simple exchange, beautiful. I really loved, because I was up there for Christmas Eve, and it was the most beautiful Christmas Eve.
Oh, wow, Christmas Eve. Tell me why it was so beautiful. There wasn't a cathedral.
It was beautiful because contrary to how it's celebrated in Europe, and I think in the U.S. too, you know, where everybody, at least in Europe, you know, Spain, France, you know, the family is in their home and they have this big feast and all these big meals.
Oh, so it's very socially, family, and humanly oriented.
What I experienced when I was there in San Luis Potosí that Christmas Eve, it was for everybody. We were all in the street. They had little fogatas, little fireplace, you know, little fires going in the street. So because it was really cold, right? It was really high altitude. And we would all warm up, and then they brought this huge pot of hot chocolate for everybody, and then they had piñatas for all the kids. So we were, you know, the people, we were all outside in the street celebrating Christmas Eve, and there was hot chocolate for everybody and piñatas for all the kids, and you know, it was just so humble and beautiful and generous, and it was the sweetest Christmas I've ever seen.
Oh my God.
until I was woken up at 5 a.m. and by these people screaming downstairs, and I opened the balcony and I saw the most wounded man I've ever seen in my life. He just got like stabbed with knife. So the you know, that happens. It was, Mexico is contrast land, you know, it's very contrast land. And this is a good example of it. That was the sweetest Christmas ever.
And then
ever.
He saw a stamped man.
And then he wasn't stabbed to death. But I mean, when I opened my balcony after the screams went away and I saw this man, he was colored in blood, you know, like his shirt was open and cut. And he had been badly beaten, you know, too much posh. They drink a lot of very hard alcohol there, and then people get
What
drunk.
Kind of alcohol? I mean, you mean
especially in Chiapas, they drink
mezcal or what? No.
Mezcal is more in Oaxaca. In Chiapas, they drink this alcohol. It's called posh.
Posh.
I think it's like distilled corn or something,
uh-huh.
And it's super, super strong. And they sell it even in little bags, you know, for like 2 cents. So it's so easy to get so drunk.
And probably the plastic is leaching into the alcohol.
There is a lot of yeah.
Well, dear. No, I'm with Sabrina Guitar, great photographer. We did Salmon Poet together, and but so you were this time your trip to Mexico. You were there about three months, 4 months, 5 months.
No, not that long.
3 months.
Almost 3 months. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you're going to return to Spain, but what I want to know is, give me another instrumental story. I mean, a story that will explicate what's sociologically going on. You know.
Well, sociologically.
I know Calderon. I know the government is a sellout. The election was stolen. John Ross has talked about this, but go ahead.
There's this whole energy reform, you know.
You tell me about this.
That was with the oil, but also other things. Since the 1st of January, I should know more about it, but a lot of
things. 1st of January 2014.
2014, yeah.
2014.
They made all these changes where.
Tell me. This is politically interesting.
It's just trying to tame an untamable society, you know, with capitalism. And that's why the thing is boiling, you know, because it's like trying to change the spontaneity of a culture, you know.
I have
like,
to stop this.
If, for example, you will go before around the corner of the street, and like get a squeeze juice from the old lady that does that in, you know, around the corner, now this person is going to have to like declare her little business, you know, and pay taxes, they just want everything much more controlled. They want people that have businesses to do it, computerize all their bills, and you know, they just want control, you know, more control. And I don't know, and the changes happen fast. Like, I was talking to this artisan.
This is neoliberal capitalism taking over the world.
Yeah, I always end up meeting the artisans in the street, the ones that they walk around with their jewelry, and I befriended this person, and after the 1st of January, we were just speaking in the street, and then all of a sudden, this young policeman arrives and tells him, I invite you to keep walking. You know, like,
I invite you to keep walking.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like Portland, Oregon, but
so you know, but that happens right after the year starts. For example, no, that's an example, right? Of these whole new reforms, right? Like the ambulant artisan you know, and before Trump quit doing his jewelry and selling it in the street, even this
now he can't sit on the street and sell anymore. He can't. He doesn't have a vendor's license. He has to be licensed by the city.
Not that extreme yet, but you know, they're starting to harass them. You know.
Stop, so, Trump. Sabrina Gattardo, Trump.
They want to change the society. You know? Just like everybody.
Of neoliberal capitalism and.
Respond to this a little bit, and we need to keep moving here. But
yeah, that's a part of Mexico you don't hear about at all in the major media.
No, it's not
with the crushing of small business or of like basically having everything under control. I invite you to keep moving.
Keep moving
means... Well, is that what they said? Or I invite you to
keep moving, yeah. The cop says to the street vendor, the ordinary street vendor. I was there a long time ago, but it was, you know, Sabrina Gittart, go to Sabrina Gittart, or Sgittane at Gmail, but she just, this is funny. As I was trying to put together some kind of skeletal program for Patrick arriving here so we could make some sense out of all of this, she called me from the Pyrenees and I said, well, Sabrina, I can't do this now, but all your friends say that this is such a conspiratorial worldwide capitalist takeover of all the indigenous, all the resources on planet Earth. And I don't think she's wrong. I never said she was wrong. I'm just saying it's... What the hell is on there? There's nothing on. The deal is, I said, well, your friends don't want to talk to you from America because you want to talk conspiracy. And I said, in America, people, well, what do you think about conspiracy, Patrick? What do you think? I mean, do people get tired of it? I mean, do you think that Trump is a madman or not? I mean, I don't know.
I think Trump is an incompetent who has no plan.
That's your point of view, is an incompetent who has no
plan. Do I think there are conspiracies at times. I mean, there have been obvious conspiracies in American politics of the COINTELPRO.
There have been plenty of them. They shot all the Black Panthers, and they killed MLK, and they killed JFK, and they killed RFK.
Yeah, there's, well...
I mean, no, it's real stuff. I mean, there's a deep state. There's a deep state.
When you start talking about deep state, it's like that speech has been co-opted by Donald Trump now.
Well, you know, he is a bit like a parrot. When he gets criticism... he just repeats what the criticism is and says, no, I agree with you. Yeah.
I agree. I think he's a parrot.
He's a parrot.
That's why I want to vote my cat Leo for president.
Oh, you're going to vote your cat Leo for president.
We're getting
in the funny zone. We have 10 minutes.
My cat would take care of the parrot very well.
Well, yes. You know.
We only have about
10
minutes.
Yeah, we have 10 minutes. Barely.
No, we have two.
What?
2 minutes.
What? 2 minutes?
58 minutes. Were you gonna read something from?
I'm gonna read. I when I was in Mexico, in 77, the people were so sweet, my journey to Mexico. Well, I'll read this, but you know, I'm tired of ICE. I want ICE thrown out of there. I'm tired of all that. And the question is, I went into a cathedral in Guanajuato, and I sat on a wooden bench. It's very quiet, peaceful, older women on a black piece of cloth beneath a saint are pinned tiny tin arms, legs to promote healing. I feel like stealing one as a curio. Instead, as a lesson to myself and others, I'm talking about Americans, I'm talking about ICE, and I do not accept the concentration camps at the border with immigrants. I pen on a brown paper sack these spontaneous words. The world is larger than yourself. You are a large person. But the world is much larger. Learn some humility. My fellow Americans, learn some humility, because you've got coronavirus running out of your rectum at this point. Respect the sanctity of the lives of others. I felt this throughout Mexico. These people, despite poverty and lack of scientific education, seem more human and emotionally responsive than most Americans. Privileged, brain-damaged, propagandized Americans. There is a mystery to life, and they accept it. Get drunk or go to church. Okay, I'd come to Guanajuato because my father had died of cancer. Well, God spoke, did they?
Yeah, no, that was me slipping and knocking the tape recorder. It hopefully still works.
This is right. Oh, wait, of course it works.
Maybe God speaking and saying it's the end of the show.
But we're done with it. We're done with the tape recorder. We're going to finish with this. I love the immigrants. I want them to come back. I love them. And I'm going to do this. There are 35 million wonderful people, and they're kept in concentration camps at the border. And I don't like living in a fascist society anymore. So I wrote this way back then. And it was easier to get up and back across the border. You could ride the trains up. It's in my Criterion movie with Gus Van Sant, Malanoche, just go to it. For the liberation of Mexico. He was a son of a gun, but a son of the sun who seeks liberty like a comet searing darkness. All fizzle and pop, a 4th of July cannonade which ends up in shimmer of sparkly showers. Still he follows the trials of Pancho Villa. Hijo de la chingada, which means son of the child of the sexual liaison. Hijo de la chingada, bring on the dawn of a new life when you sneak through the border and penetrate America. I put a K on it because it's fascist now. Her virgin landscapes, submit and release a hybrid race of freedom-loving children. Viva Zapata! They will worship George Washington too. That's a lie. He was a slaveholder. No. Black Lives Matter. But anyway. I have never met in my recent lifetime in Portland people who work so hard and take care of their families. And as even if they're undocumented, they take care of, they love their families. I've seen them work on a roof, a steep roof, 9 of them. They're joking and laughing as they could break their necks, you know. I love the Mexican people, and this is a Nazi thing with ICE to put people who have a legal in the international community. You have a legal community.
You're
to
listening
seek asylum.
To KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring a program director to manage our programming department. This full-time position requires proven experience in program directing, radio audio production, management, and supervisory skills with volunteers.